Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Oh, that's good. Well done. As Andrew said, Waterslow Sings have been going for about 6 years, and we've done about, well, we've done 80 songs. And you've seen this list around. Now, if you really are going to get bored in this talk, every single song title is in this talk. So if you want to find them, go for it. And if you don't get them all, you can go back to YouTube later and hear it all again. My name is Joe, and I'm the evangelist here at Pip and Jim's, as well as a member of Waterslow Sings. And can I take a moment before I start to say, on behalf of all the members of Waterslow Sings, it's great to be back. I don't know about the rest of you, but I always feel better when I'm singing. I get chills when we sing something like Mr. Blue Sky. Yeah? And Christy, yes, I even feel better when I'm dancing, despite the groans when the routines start again. And even though the repertoire of Christmas songs is somewhat limited, it's usually a combination of A Spaceman Came Travelling, A Winter's Tale, All I Want for Christmas, Christmas Time, the classic, Do They Know It's Christmas? You keeping up, Asher? Then there's Driving Home for Christmas, Happy Christmas War is Over, Wonderful Christmas Time, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, Merry Christmas Everybody, Snow is Falling, Stop the Cavalry, Christmas Lights, The Christmas Song, and of course, the timeless, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. As I said, even though Christmas we're limited to these songs, this service has a special place in our hearts. So thank you once again for allowing us to perform here tonight. And before I start properly, I also want to welcome anyone watching at home, whether live as it's happened or later on YouTube. Welcome. Isn't technology magic, eh? However, you could say that online has killed the use of the video. Oh, you're getting there. And of course, before that, the video killed the radio. Star, stable, and saviour sets the scene. Now, we don't know much about the shepherds from the nativity story. All we know is that after their encounter, they went and spread the word, and people were amazed. We don't know who they told, or where they went, or even their names, and I like that. It gives me the chance to use a bit of my imagination, or to keep the choir theme going. You might say to me, Joe, it allows you to make your own kind of music. Whilst keeping the truth of the importance for all humans and each of us here tonight of the birth of Jesus Christ. But I'm getting ahead of myself once again. So before I start, I'm going to have a quick sip of water and then we'll begin. Memories of that day are fresh in my mind, as if it happened yesterday and not all those years ago. Back then I was living in a field nearby a place called Bethlehem, keeping an eye on our flock of sheep all day and all night. You see, I was a shepherd. Well, one of a group of shepherds. There was me. I'm called Leif, by the way. And then there's Kelly and Fernando. I think he came from somewhere in Africa originally. Then there was Darius John. We called him DJ. And finally, Jude. We've been a long time in them fields together. Do you know, we were so close to Jerusalem that us Bethlehem shepherds looked after the temple sheep that was used as sacrifices in the temple. We were good enough for that, right enough. However, us shepherds were outcasts, the lowest of the low. We shepherds had a bad reputation. For example, we weren't allowed to give evidence in the courts. That's because we were constantly being accused of being light-fingered, thieving, And well, that sort of reputation, them accusations can get the better of you. They can bend and break you if you let them. But life's not that simple, is it? We're not all black. Or white, for that matter. There's always good and bad in everyone, I find. And contrary to the widely held belief, our shepherds don't sit around at midnight washing our clothes while sitting on the ground. But we were sitting around the fire the night it happened. I remember Jude was to the left of me and Kelly was to the right, and they were having a right old ding-dong about whose turn it was to check the supplies. Going at it at night, nobody's business they were. I remember telling them, shh, down, you're scaring the sheep. And by the way, I'm always fed up being stuck in the middle with you two. It was then when all of a sudden this thing appeared in the sky. Well, to put it bluntly, it scared us, terrified us. Well, you don't expect it, do you? This person, this angel had a pair of wings. And there was a kind of shine so bright that it seemed to reach down and cover us as well. I remember saying to this heavenly creature, I can't take my eyes off you. It was then when it spoke to us and said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause boundless joy for all people. Today in the town of David, that's Bethlehem, by the way, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. In a manger. In a glorified animal food trough. Surely not for the Saviour of the world, the predicted Messiah. For us outcasts, us nobodies, yes, of course, but it should be somewhere only we know. Not the Messiah, no way. Surely God would arrange for the Saviour of the world to be born in a palace at the top of the world, ready to lead us to victory. Not in some backwater town, not even in a room. Nah. Surely not. All of a sudden, this creature wasn't alone. There was an almighty roar, and the sky was filled with a great company of these creatures praising God. This breath of heaven had come down to us, the least of all people, and declared to us there and then, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Oh, what a moment. Oh. Holy night. A divine night. Then they disappeared just as quickly as they came. When they had gone, I turned to Jude. Hey, Jude, did that just happen? I must be dreaming. Pinch me, please. Wake me up to see if it was a dream. A little dream? A tiny dream? No, surely not. Jude shouted at me, if you think that was a dream, well, that's quite a reach, isn't it, Leif? Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. So we hurried towards Bethlehem, but one of us stumbled and fell over a rock. DJ, be more careful, I shouted at him. I mean, it would have been something stupid if we missed out for his carelessness. I'm on my way, don't stop me now, he shouted back at me grumpily. Pushing me out of the way, hobbling down the path, exclaiming, I'll get there by any means, any way possible. Needs must. Tang. Sally, one of the matrons of the village, was standing outside the place where the baby had been born that night. She wasn't going to let us in, but once she heard about what happened to us in the fields, she stepped aside. And that's why we found ourselves in the presence of this newborn baby. And there he was, lying in the manger, just as we'd been told. His parents were there, Mary looking exhausted, and Joseph, well, Joseph had that look of all new fathers, confusion and puzzlement. But the child, that child, I tell you, there was a presence of calm, a feeling that heaven had come into that lowliest of places. There was a sense that this child was saying to us there, through my living years and beyond, I'll be there for you. All you have to do is believe in me, take on me, and you'll be where you're meant to be. When we came out of that room, night had turned into day. The sun was up in the sky, and I squinted up, and I swear a beam of sunlight hit my forehead. Kelly remarked, "Look, God has made the sun shine on Leaf." The crowd was hugging and kissing each other and laughing, and this woman from the village called Rose came up and planted a huge smack on my forehead. I tell you, friends, there's nothing like getting a kiss from a rose. But that child, Joseph and Mary's boy child, well, affected us. We thought, from now on, we have to share this story with everyone we meet. We started with our neighbours, and they were amazed about what we said. No, not just what we said, but how we acted. It's funny, isn't it? Just how one day like this can change you. So many changes. I can see clearly now what this child means. And well, since that day, let's just say I'm a believer. And so are my friends. Some of us travelled spreading the word. Fernando and Jude went off to a far-off land called Britain. Have you heard of it? No? Have you heard of Britain? Participate, please. Britain. Because I haven't. And they came back with tales of wonder. Nando's told us about a place they visited in the north of Britain called York. A desperate town full of desperate people doing desperately bad things. But he told us once he spread the word around that town, that town changed into something new. Instead of being a nightmare place, it became something of a fairy tale. In fact, that's what Nando called it, the fairy tale of New York. I know, I'm sorry, but how else was I going to get it in? DJ set up his tent by a bridge over troubled water that fed into the River Jordan. He tells anyone who crosses that bridge about that night and how the Saviour came to the world. How the outcasts were invited first to see him. I think he finds the river soothing. He's there when it's sunny. He's there when it's raining. He's there by the light of the moon. River life seems to suit him, and fair play to him. Kelly stayed a shepherd in the area, telling neighbour and stranger about that night. Someone please take it off. Right, out of character. We do this sometimes in the choir. We will pin the words so people... Right, back in character. Kelly stayed in the area, telling neighbour and stranger about that night. And with God's grace, Kelly will continue to do this for many years to come. And whenever I get back home, I get a point of making a point of going to see Kelly, and I think he appreciates it. He's always telling me, I love it when you call, tell him about the places and people you've seen. My story. Well, I go around the country telling anyone who listens about that night. I don't stop. I remember once, one Roman soldier asking me some real honest questions about this baby, about Jesus. Where did he say he was from? Oh, it'll come to me. Anyway, I bumped into him in Jerusalem, that city of stars and celebrities and famous people. I was standing on a corner telling people about the special night and how it changed me and how suddenly I see things differently from now on through the eyes of this child when I noticed this soldier. Where was he from? Oh, I think he had one too many, if you know what I mean. He was standing in the middle of the road, shouting his head off. Pompeii, that's where he was from. He was moaning and groaning how life was so unfair, how it felt meaningless, empty and hard. Moaning that being a soldier was tough, that his superiors were getting them to march until they dropped. Then I told him my story. How me and my friends were the lowest of the low, one of the shunned of society, but that this creature and creatures from heaven came to us, told us we would find the saviour of the world as a baby, and that this would bring good tidings of great joy for all people. And that's the important part. All people, including you, my Pompeian friend. That was one of many, many conversations I've had over the years. But there was something about that soldier that stayed with me all this time. You know, that baby grew up and I became a follower of him, of Jesus, and I've never regretted it. He told truth to power, never afraid to say and do the right thing. Then he went and died. He died for us with his mother Mary there to the very end. I often think, Mary, did you know what would be in store for you? That the things we would do for love would leave you weeping. And then 3 days later, Jesus defeated death to set us free. All our lives justified in a steady blaze of light through the work of Jesus. All of us free, if we choose to be. No matter who you are, be it slave or child, rabbi or leper, a king, fisherman or soldier, a killer, queen or pot washer, all of us have the chance to be justified, to be free. Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to live life? You know, viva la vida. The days since that Saviour's Day have not always been perfect. Sometimes it feels like every day hurts, but other days I can feel on top of the world. But regardless of how I feel, that night changed everything for me. But not just for me, but for everyone else as well, including all you lot. Whether you know it or not, or whether you believe it or not. That's my story, friends. To that little baby in the trough, I want to say thank you for being a friend. A friend to me since that night. Every moment you fill my little world, you have. And friends, if you haven't had the chance of knowing this baby, please do. You won't regret it. Try everything this child, this Saviour, has to offer. And if you do want to find out more, please come and find me in the interval. Or one of Jesus' other followers. They're everywhere, you know, even in this place. And we will try our best to help you understand why knowing this baby might be just the most important thing you could ever do. This journey has sometimes felt like I've been floating down a river of dreams. But hey, what do I know? So cheerio for now and have the greatest of seasons.